adopted. Oh. A very awesome adopted son.
All right. I wasn't sure what you said. I like this guy. He's different. We've been privileged, and I'm very serious in my humor, but we have been privileged throughout the years to be associated with Mike. And almost all of you people here, some more than 4 years than others, but just all everyone here. If I were a greater person and had greater intelligence and ability, I would just go ahead and give short bios of everybody in the room, and they would all be great and just a marvelous encouragement to each other to hear each other's stories. They're real. You gather a group of people in the world just about anywhere and gather a whole bunch of stories, but a lot of them are made up. But these stories are real. These are real people. And that's to coin a phrase, awesome. That's one word that everybody here uses it. I really like that word, awesome, because it's so appropriate. But we want to get into the Word, and the Word is awesome. The Word is mighty and wonderful and grand, and it's ours. It's ours. It's yours. Your Lord and your God, and this is His Word for you. But not only all of those people that you and by God's grace can have an avenue towards hearing. And that's kind of what this might be the topic of. Turn to Ephesians 3:9, and most of you can quote it. Maybe you don't have to turn to it. And I'll go as quickly as I can so I can go through this. I'm really using Isaiah 1:18. It doesn't bear totally on this, but I like the words at the beginning. Come now, let us reason together. There's no more reasonable people in the world than those who believe the Word rightly divided. And I want to throw this out to you and turn it around. Those who rightly divide multiply their understanding of the Scriptures. Any math teachers here? Put that down in your math book. Those who multiply, or those who rightly divide, will multiply their understanding of the Scriptures. Do you think that's true?
Yeah.
Good. All right, Ephesians 3:9. And to enlighten all what the administration of the mystery, which has been hidden from the ages in God. What a great place to hide something. In God. Who created all things? There's one thing I really have a beef with the King James Version, and that is the witches that are whos. I don't mean W-I-T-C-H's, I mean W-H-I-C-H's. I don't happen to think that witches are whos. Whos are people, that's you. And me's. You's and me's are whos. I couldn't resist that. But anyway, we're people. And so many people think church is a building with blocks. may be some blockheads in there, but no. Church is people. There are people like you. They're people. And take all the walls down, you'll still have them. When I was a young student at Bob Jones University, we had a work with many things. Well, one of the things was kids' Bible classes. We had 77 of them on the weekends. There were 45 of us. And one thing we did was hand out a little a bank, world-shaped bank with a little slot in it. Put your pennies in for the kids. We didn't twist your arms, just pass it around. Get a 4 or 5 pennies a Bible class, because they were poor kids mostly. But when we got about $25, back in those days, we would send it to a mission field and say it's from our kids. And one time we got the picture back from this mission field in Korea, which at that time was having war, and it was the Oksan Church. And there was the picture of the church, a wall, like this, and around. Big, big area. But the wall was about this high. And the people were inside it because it had been bombed in the Korean War. But the church was packed with people. That's a good illustration of how the church is people. I always think of that picture. And the church who is his body are people. You and other people like you and other people you will talk to and other people you will influence. People you will pray for. People you love. Some you haven't met yet. They are the church who is and will be his body. And we need to enlighten them about this mystery. Everybody loves a mystery. Ask them. Especially Halloween coming. Ask them. Oscar Baker said, apart from the Bible, there is no other source to which we can turn for light amidst the darkness of this present age. Sounds a lot like Halloween talk. Darkness, light, boogeyman and all that sort of thing. We're trying to make light of it. Yet, it was the eve, the hallowed evening, the evening before All Witches' Day. The evening before all the demons were supposed to roam the earth and have full sway. And so, the saints would stay in their homes and batten the windows closed, and then they would pray so that they would survive that terrible coming up day. You see, hallowed evening. Well, I don't know about those days and who came up with them and how they figured it out or anything. And maybe we don't have any special days like that, but we do have those same situations There is no lessening of satanic power and working. If anything, it's on the upturn. So our job is still the same. And whether it's Hallowed Evening with pumpkins and all that, or whether it's Christ Mass. How many people of you do Christ Mass? I kind of got a guy out of joint when I said, "Well, we don't observe this holiday because it's very commercial, and we're not Catholics, so we don't do Mass." And he was a Catholic. Well, I didn't know that, but I found it out. But we don't do that Mass because we're in God's Word. And that's not in here. We got plenty to do in here and through this. Now, the mystery is the cornerstone. The cornerstone of the Scriptures. Think of that. Because God has worked all His ages to this final, pretty final. Oh yeah, I know there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth, but it'll be final for His people, the church who is His body, and what happens to the earth then? And what happens to the earth system? It's gone. It's gone. And we're gone. And we're there. And you say, ha, 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 like a little child. We've got it laid out. Ha, ha, ha. No, I don't think so. Nobody with that attitude is in the body. Nobody has that attitude in the body. They might say they do, but they don't. Because they don't have that attitude if you're in the body. Because you want more people in there with you. You want some of those loved ones in there. Anyway, this truth has been hidden in God, has been hidden from ages, but we're not concerned about the ages. We're concerned about this age and your role in this age. What is your role in this age and this time and this place and your home and your city and your town and your business and your work? What is your role there? And how can it be different? How can it be reaching out more to these people who are lost? And you say, well, look, I don't go to a church. Good. What you could do, stand on the street corner with a sign on that says church. Now, what good would that do? Well, first of all, they'd think you're crazy. But they might ask you some questions. Some of them might listen. But if that's the only way you can get attention to the mystery, better do that than keep your mouth closed. But when you open your mouth, there's something else you have to open. Your heart. If you don't open that, don't open your mouth. Get it? You got it. You're intelligent people. I've talked about all of you. I know just about all of you some way or another. All of you are intelligent. All of you are good people. In my, you know, whatever that is. But the way I look at things, you're all great people. So I'm not talking to, you know, just some slum bunnies here that don't know anything. You folks are the real. You're the elite. You're God's crop. So we're the only people who can do anything about this on this earth. We're the only people. But we're not by ourselves, are we? No. Because my guarantee doesn't mean a thing. But God's word, I believe, guarantees you that He will be with you in all this reaching out. And to enlighten, shine a light on the people in their hearts, in their eyes. Always remember, God has a plan of the ages. Look at Ephesians 2:7. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, the reason I bring this in at this time, God has a whole plan of ages. Age. You have people who have mapped them out. Some of them very good. That's okay. It's great to study. But you know what's even greater than studying? Passing it on. And learn something, go tell somebody. They'll look at you like, that's all right. You did your part, maybe. You tell them with a good heart. If they'll listen, tell them. Oh, he's a big blabbermouth. So what? Big deal. What did God say about it? What does God say about it? You know, I would rather tell that person than leave him untold. How many people will you leave untold? Think of it this way. There are people passing your path, your way of life. How many of those are going to be left untold? How many of them are your responsibility? I don't know that. You and God know. But there are strangers. Well, one time you were a stranger too. How many people were told about the mystery by a stranger? Raise your hand. In this group, how many were told the mystery by a stranger? Well, there's at least 2, 3, or 4 here. Okay. How many were told by a friend? Okay, a lot of those people. Yeah. Well, the friends, it looks like the friends are the way to go. And some of you are going that way, I know. And some we already know. The fellow in here, Al back there, he had a friend tell him. And he's telling some of his friends and relatives. Even relatives. Yeah, you're allowed to tell them. Yeah, God wants them to know. And they'll probably be right in there with you. Now, God has a plan of the ages. How does this get to this? God has a plan of the ages. Think, if you will, here is God, ere the upon heavenlies, above the upon heavenly's evening, even if there is such possibility. And He is working out His plan. Age. We go through the Jewish dispensations, plural. We go through the time before that, way back. Adam and a lot of other people after the flood. Funny thing, 7:20, Genesis 7:21. Somebody read Genesis 7:21. Let's read it out loud.
And all flesh died and moved upon the earth, both fowls and cattle and beasts and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man.
That's a little different from my 7:21. Let me look here. Genesis 7:20. Either we have the wrong verses or I've got the wrong verse. Well, I'm sorry, I've got the wrong reference. The reference I had was after the flood, and they were all left and didn't get in the ark. They didn't get in the ark. Could you imagine them standing there, and the flood's coming up, and up to their necks, and the ark's kind of sort of bouncing around in the water, and they're still standing there looking up there. That crazy Noah's up there in that ark while we're down here drowning. Can you imagine that? Yeah, there he is up there. He's a crazy guy, you know. He's been preaching for us for years and years and years. He's still up there in the ark. Got all them dumb animals in there. Why does he do that? Oh, the guy is nuts. Yeah, but you know, he was a good builder. Yeah, he was a good builder, all right. Well, hey, well, I got it moved somehow. Why? The water's getting too high. Hey, you know what? I can't find any place to get out of the water here. Down he is sinking under the water. He's still thinking that crazy Noah. Up there, Noah, he's floating around in the ark. But he's not thinking that way. He's thinking, oh, those poor guys. I try to tell them. I did everything I could. I preached and I preached and I preached. And they didn't pay any attention, Lord. I try to tell them. About that time, the cow goes, and he says, and now I've got all these animals to take care of. Thank you, Lord, I'm alive. And the people, too. There's a few people there with him, you know. 7 more people. But, you know, that's the same way it's going to be for those that miss the mystery, the body. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. The flood of the world will take them over. You're going to miss it. And you say, well, I don't want them to think I'm intruding on their TV time or anything. I would talk to him, but you know that Gladys, she might. And you know how Gladys is. She's always rumoring about things. And she'll talk and say that I said so-and-so. And Aunt Matilda, she's awful. I have to think of her all the time. And then you got to think, too, the boys at work, they wouldn't go on with this at all because all they want to talk about is fishing and hunting and all that. I can't talk about the Lord. Golly, they'll throw me out of the plant. Yeah. Oh, that's all right. I'll just miss the boat. But you might make it. Will you have any kind of doubts and dreads and dreads and, oh gosh, I wish I'd have told Sam. I was going to tell him, but I just didn't get a chance. The Lord looking at you. What? You didn't get a chance? Well, you're not a good... What about when you were standing there at the water cooler? Well, yeah, we see. What about you had a chance to give him a tract? Well, you know, they're the tracts, yeah. But what about why didn't you invite him to your fellowship meeting? Or the Bible class at your house. Well, why don't you just tell him, hey, I know something in the Bible that I'd like you to understand with me. Well, you know, it just wasn't the end thing to do. Well, now he's gone. And the ages moved on because God has a plan. And it's called the plan of the ages, and God made it. And why am I emphasizing this? Why am I being morose about this? Because God's plan is very, 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 very important. Important. And you say, well, don't talk to us, we know. Like I say, everybody I know in here, they think you're wonderful people. You're all nice people. You're all good people. You're all just as good, nice, and strong, and healthy, and happy, and you talk as much as I do. So, everything I'm saying, go four fingers back, only one out there. So this is just as much for me as you. But the whole point of it is, folks, and I can only talk to you about this. You can see this. God has a plan of the ages. It's immutable. It's not going to change because He's made it. And it's made for good. We don't have things in the world like that. They all go. They rot. They die. They go away. And what's left is His plan. And He goes on and on. And it will go on until it's all finished and filled up. Let's look at Ephesians 3:10 and 11. That now, through the assembly, that's you, might be known to the principalities and the authorities in the upon heavenlies, the multifarious wisdom of God according to the purpose of the ages which He made in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our Lord. Your Lord. My Lord. He made this plan.
You're part of it. You're a big part of it. An important part of it. How many more things in your life are more important than this? Think about it. Meditate. Talk to Him about it. But there's more. Okay, we have our daily lives to go through. We have from day to day. Get along with the relatives. Get along with the neighbors. Get along with the church people. Get along with the unchurched people. Get along with the work people. Get along with the unworking people. Get along with the people we associate with. Get along with the friends and get along with the enemies. And get along, little doggy, get along, and that's all you're going to be. As long as you get along, you'll just be a little doggy getting along. But we're not little doggies. We're God's chosen people. His representatives. And above us are looking upon us the principalities, authorities in the upon heavenlies. People that, not people, beings you don't have any idea of the power and the angst and the verb and the mood behind these beings. And they're looking up there at us. They're looking at the church who is His body. And they're judging God, your Lord. And they're saying, this is His creation. Those people are His creation. Those people are His body. They're judging God by you, by me, by us. Yes. Principalities. That's the ones that are the heads. They're the head of everything. Tos archai is the Greek word. Exousios. Authorities of various sorts. Not these little guys in the offices. No. Not the little principal behind the desk. No. Not the big president thinks he is, you know, whatever. No, not those authorities. No, not the EPA. No, no, not them. No, not those little dinkly authorities. These are the real powers of the universe. My voice has to struggle to try to stress the greatness of these beings, these authorities, and they are looking at the church who is His body. You! Those are the ones you ought to worry about. Not the water cooler. Not the neighbor. Not the church person. Not the relatives. These principalities and powers in the upon heavens, looking down and judging not you, they're judging your God.
He would like to have you show that He is wise, that He is loving, that He is grand, that He is a great, wonderful God, that He is who sent His only beloved Son to shed His precious blood on the cross of Calvary. He would like for these principalities and powers to see that in His body. Folks, I didn't make this up. This is in the Scriptures. This is in your Bible. So it's real. It's real. This is a big issue. Now, there's an interesting thing, however. You look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. You know, I think I see this among us. Endeavoring, working, being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Now look down here in verse 8. Wherefore He says, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive. Yes, He's demonstrated His great power over all the powers of darkness. He's demonstrated it. He's proven it. And gave gifts while He's ascending. He's poured out His blood. His tears mixed with the blood. He's gone through the ignominy of the nastiness, the hatred of Satan and Satan's minions. He's gone through it all. And now He ascends. He conquers death. He's on the rise. And while He's ascending, He's thinking of the church who is His body. And He gives gifts. He gives gifts. He's already given His life. Now He's giving gifts. What about that? Can you imagine? How much is too much? He's giving gifts to the church. And look who He's given. He's given some apostles. They're sent ones. There's apostles in our church. Don't Don't, hey, listen, those are the things that say the apostle, apostolic, little stuff, church or whatever. Don't pay any attention to that. That's not this. They might have read this verse and say, oh, this is a good verse to start a church with. That's not them. This is the real apostles. Who are they? I don't know. Might be you and me. And he gave some prophets. Prophets. There are prophets in our church. Well, don't go out there and stand on the street corner and start telling them it's going to happen, this and that. No, don't do that. No. He don't want you to do that. Just tell each other what you know about those things. Prophets. Well, there were, you know, there are 16 prophets who have books named after them, but there are probably 35 or 40 more mentioned in the Old Testament. But we're not talking about any of those. No. We're not talking about Jonah, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Haggai, and Malachi. We're not talking about any of those. We're not talking about Elijah or Elisha or Abijah or Ahariah. We're not talking about any of those. We're talking about prophets today. People named Bill and Joe and Harry and Sadie and Sarah and Nancy and people named like you. That's who we're talking about. Because these are people who are in His body. Who have seen the mystery. Who know where they stand in God's Word. And that's where you stand in His Word. You don't stand with any preacher. You don't stand with any organization. You stand in His Word. Now, it doesn't mean you can't cooperate with each other. Look what you've done today. Well, look what you've done this weekend. This is mighty wonderful. Beautiful. Look what you've done. Look what some of your people have done. Doesn't mean that's no good. We're not trying to decry anything. Any kind of organization or work that you people are doing, wonderful. I love it. It's great. I'm glad just to get a little tickle in here. But think too, that all what is done here, that Jesus Christ is giving prophets today. Now, are they going to tell the future? Only if it's according to the Word. If it ain't according to the Word, don't pay any attention to it. Don't pay any attention to externals. Stick to the Word, the reality. The reality is God's plan of the ages, and it will be. It is, it has been, and it will be. No matter what any horn atheist comes along and says, or anybody, or any organization, don't worry about them. Stick to God's plan of the ages. It will out. And if you die sticking to God's plan of the ages, wonderful. What a way to go. But He has. Some of you will be prophets. Some evangelists. Oh, that's a word. Oh, evangelists are all over the place. Crawling like ants on a mountain. Are they? Really?
They don't know God's word. They know nothing. They're not in God's word. They're wasting their time. There might be some well-intentioned, good, nice people out there. Tell you what, we're running out of time when we can let nice people and all that control what's going on. We've got to know what God's word is. We've got to go with God's plan. And it's His people that are going to know the word. And sticking with that word is going to get us along, and it's going to get us along with His breath at your back. That's right. Have God's wind at your back. Go with God. Psalms 32:8 in the Hebrew says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you shall go. And then the last phrase is mistranslated. It says, my eye shall be on you. In other words, He's got your back. He's got your back. Reminds me of a little story I probably told you several times. But one time when I was working in the school, I asked the kids if anybody objected to reading a verse of the scriptures before class every day. So go home and talk to your parents about public school. So 2 or 3 days went by. Nobody registered any objection. So we started having one of the kids read a verse from the Bible. Every day. The teeny, open the door, just a little teeny peek, you know. Let God in just a little. Then one day the principal called me down and said, you're going against board policy. Well, I said, I don't understand how that could be. I don't have any objections in the class. Oh yeah, we had one complaint. Strange, I had visited all the parents. Didn't hear any complaints about it. But if I found out later on, it was a fellow that taught Sunday school complained. He taught Sunday school in the Catholic Church. Well, I had met the fellow. He seemed nice and friendly, and I didn't have any problem with him. But you see, he married his second marriage, and it was her second marriage. Well, her first husband was a guard in a prison up in Michigan. I don't know what you know about that, but anyway, I found out later on the family moved out of town because the current husband got a job in Michigan as a prison guard recommended by her former husband. And Mrs. Brackenridge, you say, I might be in trouble. I wouldn't be in that guy's shoes for anything. Worldly troubles are different. You got the Lord at your back. You do right. Do right. Your case, do God's word. Don't forget. The arche, the exousia, the cosmocrators, the principalities, the authorities, and the world rulers are watching you. And don't forget, God has His plan. It's a plan of the ages. It began when He began it, and it will end when He ends it. And when you're in His plan and in His word, He will be behind you and with you. And you will be surprised at what might happen by His grace and love and glory. How great it is to be among the saints. With our great God, our risen Lord, in His plan, spread the word.